I want us to think about something a little different this morning, and I believe the Lord wants us to think about something a little different. So if you will, turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah was probably one of the greatest prophets, if not the greatest prophet, in the Old Testament. And here he writes a song. At least he begins a song. And so let's read the first seven verses of Isaiah chapter 5. Isaiah 5, 1 through 7. Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. And he fenced it, and he gathered the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a winepress therein. He looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, between me and my vineyard. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Whereof, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And I will lay it waste, it shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression, for righteousness, but behold, a cry. Father, as we look into your word this morning, we pray that we will understand the message that you have for each one of us. And Father, for the message that you have for us corporately together. May we understand the truth of your word. May your Holy Spirit communicate in our hearts the place that we have in this. And Father, then may you give each one of us the courage to do what you would indicate for us to do, and the strength to accomplish the task you have for each of us. And Father, we will praise you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, I've previously quoted Solomon when he said, "There is nothing new under the sun." And when Isaiah wrote this passage that we have just read, it was about somewhere between 750 and 800 years before Jesus was to walk upon the earth. Like I said, Isaiah was probably Israel's greatest prophet. He wrote more about the coming of the Messiah than any other prophet. More of Isaiah is quoted in the New Testament. Jesus, as he ministered upon the earth, he continually quoted Isaiah and portions of Isaiah. So as we look at this passage in Isaiah 5, can any of us, can we see ourselves as a part of this prophecy? Because you see, if we just read the Word of God, and we do not make application, not to somebody else, but to us, We're wasting our time. You might as well read Moby Dick. But when we start reading the Bible, we are reading God's Word, and God is speaking to us no matter where we are reading in it, even the Old Testament. There's times when a pastor has to preach all of the Word of God, and it may include passages such as this. Hopefully, there can be a prophet for each of us in this passage. And I believe there can be, or we wouldn't be looking at it this morning. So as we look at this, we need to develop an understanding of how we fit into this picture. The prophet Isaiah began this chapter with a song. The song today would be considered a ballad about God who was his well-beloved. Jesus, of course, would not be a factor for almost 750 years. So this ballad that Isaiah begins involves a principle of God. At a particular point, you will see the ballad changes from Isaiah singing it to God, speaking for his own self. The vineyard, at the time that Isaiah wrote this, was the nation Israel. God still has a vineyard today. But the vineyard is not Israel. The vineyard is the Christian church. And so there is some application here that we can make. Most of the Old Testament was written to the nation Israel. But this part of the Old Testament applied to Israel as well as to the future church that Jesus Christ would bring to fruition when he rose from the dead. There are several things that we should take note about. The first thing, that Isaiah is singing a song of God about his vineyard. That word too could also be translated concerning. Isaiah was singing concerning the vineyard of God. God's vineyard is his church. Like I said, Old Testament, Israel, New Testament, the Christian church. God created the vineyard. He made it just the way he wanted it to be. Everything about the vineyard was just right for growth. In the Old Testament, it was God's people, the Jewish nation. God had called them to come out from them among the world and be ye separate. In the New Testament, it's the church universal that God has preserved to be his representative in the world, wherever we go, for today and for all future days. We are told in God's Word in the New Testament that all of us are ambassadors for Christ. We know the history of the Jewish people, about how time after time after time they left God and his commandments and went into idolatry. Their heavenly Father would seek them, they would come back, and then they would go back into idolatry time after time after time. That was a history. That was what Solomon was talking about when he would say there was nothing new under the sun. What we want to think about this morning, what we want to learn about this morning, is how we might fit into this scenario. The first verse tells us that God placed his vineyard in a very fruitful hill. The last sentence of the first verse is talking about having a vine in place where there is potential for great amounts of fruit. Actually, Jesus was speaking to this passage when he addressed his people, his disciples, in John chapter 15. Jesus said, this is, brings the Old Testament and the New Testament together. We have Isaiah's song of God's vineyard. We have Jesus' discourse. In John 1, John 15, 1, he said, I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Isn't that exactly what Isaiah is saying? But about the Jewish people. So, do you see how that the Son of God understood the Old Testament? For he was living the Old Testament. He understood their meanings and their relationships. And that's what we have to do. A lot of Christians don't read much in the Old Testament because they don't get anything out of it. And yet, Jesus Christ has a purpose for having and giving this to us. We're actually a part of both passages. And I wonder if any of us understand the magnitude of God's expectation or purpose for each of us. If we are his children, we are expected to be fruitful. That's why we're here. Other words, when a person believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, zip, they'd be gone. But he has left us here because he has a purpose for each one of us. And your purpose is different from my purpose, but one of the purposes that is common for both of us is the producing of fruit. Now, all of us are branches that are supported by the vine, and Jesus said, I am the vine. So we are branches in Jesus. Our sole purpose for existing is to make money? No. To make friends? No. To exert power over other people? No. Our sole purpose for existing is to produce fruit. That's our sole purpose. If you and I fail to produce any fruit, the branch is eventually going to shrivel up and die. Now, I'll admit it's a lot harder to produce fruit today than it ever was. But the prophecy of Isaiah that we have read this morning shows us that we must understand what God intends for us and how God feels about us when we don't do what he wants us to do. We can't be fruitful without God. We can't. Everything that is necessary to be fruitful has to come from God, our Heavenly Father. We can run around. We can tell people about Jesus. We can pass out tracts. There's so many things we can do, but that is just busy work if God is not in it. If the Holy Spirit is not directing us to do these things. And sometimes we miss his leading. Sometimes we are busy and the noise of the world does not let us hear his still small voice and we miss it. But many times he directs us, go speak to that person. Go do this for that person. go do that for that person. And in so doing, we can become fruitful. For who knows what's going to touch a person's heart. We want to learn this morning about how we might fulfill the scenario that God gave in Isaiah. And this first verse tells us that God placed his vineyard in a very fruitful place. There is potential for fruitfulness here in North Charleston. You have potential for fruitfulness where you work, where you live, where you live life, where you experience life. There's all kinds of potential. But you can't do it. And folks, that's a great blessing for all of us. Whether you realize it or not, we are not accountable for the souls of others. We can't save them. All we can do is tell them upon the leading of God's Holy Spirit. And God is the one who has to do the work. God's Holy Spirit is the one who has to do the work. We have a job. And our job is not necessarily to be responsible for making the fruit, but our job is to be responsible for telling them about Jesus. You'll notice in John 15 that Jesus is the vine, his Father's the husband, and that's exactly what Isaiah was saying here in Isaiah 5. That was almost 800 years before Jesus. And then Jesus picked up on that theme and he followed on. So let's go back to Isaiah and see what the prophecy Isaiah tells us about the situation. Isaiah 5:2. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a wine press therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. First of all, God protected his vineyard with a fence. And God has protected each one of us with a fence. He's called the Holy Spirit. He surrounds us. We can enjoy the protection of God for his children by being in the center of his perfect will. Day by day, God can move us from place to place wherever he wants us. And he does, as long as we follow the leading of his Holy Spirit. He's moving Logan. Logan may not fully understand right now. We may not fully understand right now why he's doing it. But we can have the assurance that he is the one who's doing it, Logan. And Lord willing, hopefully, years from now, you will look back and see exactly God's mercy and wisdom in doing what he did. That's called hope. As long as we breathe, we can have hope that God is doing what is happening to us for a purpose in our own lives. So first of all, he protected it with a fence. God does not want us to be injured by tripping over obstacles that the devil might put in our path. So the next thing that God did was he cleared out the stones. Back in the day of Isaiah, when they wanted to cultivate a field, they would go in and pick up all the stones and pile them around the field in a fence. They do the same thing. If you've ever been to Scotland, if you've ever been to England, you will see all these stone fences. That stone came out of the field because you can't very well plow a field if you've got big stones in it. And so God, to keep us from stumbling over these obstacles that the devil wants to put in front of us, he clears the way. And if we are in his will, he will clear the way for us. So God takes the obstacles out of the way. Next, Isaiah tells us that God planted in his vineyard with the choicest vine. And this morning, if you look around the auditorium, you have some of the choicest people in North Charleston sitting around you. I'm so glad you're all here. I'm so glad that God put you here. And he did. And so you are here because God wants you to interact and be part of his branch, part of his vine, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. So he planted his vineyard with the choicest vine, and that's Jesus. And you can't get any better vine than Jesus. He's the best you can get. Now comes a part that I love to think about. God built a tower in the midst of the vineyard so he could keep an eye on everything. And I am so glad that God does keep an eye on everything, because I'm part of that everything and so are you. And God knows what's going on in your life because he has his eye on you. And he is superintending, if you will let him, what is going on. I'm glad that God watches over his children to keep us out of trouble. And we all miss a lot of trouble because one of the things that God does for us, and I pray every morning, my wife prays every morning, that he might give you safety. Because Proverbs 21:31 says, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. So people, safety is become from God. Ever have a close call while you're driving? Somebody cuts you off, or somebody pulls out in front of you, or somebody stops in front of you, and you don't think you're going to make it, but you do? That's of the Lord. Everything that happens to your life, the Lord has some part in it. So, God wasn't finished. He built a wine press in his vineyard to process the fruit when it got ripe. Now, I've noticed that a wine press can be used for two different purposes. It can be used to produce a very sweet liquid that can be refreshing to his people. I'm not talking about wine, I'm talking about grape juice. That can be so refreshing. But there's another reason that God can have a wine press, and we read about that in Revelation 19:15. Let me read it. Revelation 19:15. And out of his mouth goeth a And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. You see, God does have wrath. You're not experiencing it. Good. I don't know what that was all about, but God does have wrath. And we don't want to be a part of that. But in the last day, we are told that in Revelation chapter 15, when Jesus comes back to get rid of the Antichrist and all of his enemies, he will tread the winepress of God's wrath. The last part of our study in verses in Isaiah 5:2 is the saddest part. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Have you ever seen grapes growing? Have you ever seen wild grapes? We have them out back of the building here sometimes, growing up in the shrubbery. And they put on little bitty green berries. They never get big. They never fill out. You can't eat them. They're no good. Now, there are other wild kinds of grapes that you might be familiar with. You may be familiar with muscadine. I know we find them up in the mountains when we're deer hunting. And they're tasty. There's also the scuffernons. The muscadines are purple, the scuffernons are green. I hope, am I right? Okay. They're all edible. God put them there for the animals. But wild grapes are not edible. And that's what God got after all he did for his people. After all he did for the church. There was a time when the church was fruitful. There was a time when the church was producing many, many people born again. God was reaching out into the community as this nation. We'll talk about it next week as we think about Thanksgiving. But as God reached into this nation, there were revivals. There were worldwide revivals. Today, you don't hear about it. Not here. And so we need to realize that there's a lot of wild grapes out there that are worth nothing. Now, as we are looking at Isaiah, we come to verse 3. Isaiah is no longer the one speaking. At this point, the speaker becomes God himself. Remember how Isaiah sung about his beloved's vineyard? Isaiah was doing the talking, but in verse 3, God takes over, because you will see that the one talking about the vineyard is the owner of the vineyard. He refers to it as my vineyard. Note who God is talking to, the ones who are supposed to be his children. Today, that includes us. So I believe there is an application here in Isaiah. Isaiah 5:4. What could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I looked that it should bring forth grapes, it brought forth wild grapes. God asked his children what else he could have done for them. And I would share that same question with you this morning. Is there anything else that God could have done for you that he has not done? People, God has loved us. And whether we're 12 years old or 112, God has given you everything that you have. And he gave it to you for one purpose, to produce fruit. And so that's where we're going to have to concentrate as we prepare to enter into a new year in a little more than a month. We're going to have to concentrate on producing fruit. Isaiah 5:5-6 says this, now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that they rain no rain upon it. What this sounds like, people, is that God is going to abandon his vineyard completely. And that's a scary thing, people. That is a scary thing, that God would abandon his vineyard. He will not do that. He may chasten it by doing the things he says here that he's going to do, but he's going to return. And he's going to do all he can to make all of us fruitful. What happened to Israel could happen to the church here in the United States of America. What happened to Israel? Well, it started when a man by the name of Nebuchadnezzar conquered Israel. He was the emperor of Babylon. And from that day on, until 1947, when the United States and Britain reestablished Israel as a nation, Israel was under the authority of other kingdoms, under the authority of the Gentile. After Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian Empire came the Medo-Persian Empire, and then the Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. And after the Roman Empire, they were just constantly under domination of the Gentiles. We don't want that to happen to us. We want to stay active. We want to stay close to God. We want to continue to do the things that God wants us to do. This message that we have just read in Isaiah was for a different time. But it was the same message, just in different words, that we need for our time. We need to think about it. We need to pray about it. We need to do everything we can to be fruitful. We're out of time. So we will stop here. But one day we will return to this. In the meantime, read John, the Gospel of John, 15:1-8. John 15:1-8. And if you think that Isaiah wasn't for you, this is. Let's pray. Father, we are so grateful for your word. We are so grateful that you love us enough to give us your word, that we might not wander about blindly or without knowledge of what your desire and will is for us. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for all of it, Old and New Testaments. And Father, may your will be done here at Coastal Shores Baptist Church. And Father, may we be fruitful for thee. And Father, only you can make us that. So Father, we call upon thee. Use each of us to accomplish your purpose and your will. And we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name. Amen.